And so two albums on Friday evening's Arena. New work from Ozzy Osbourne and Kid Krule for your consideration later, but we're going to start with the Canadian artist and singer Grimes, who brings us her new record, Miss Anthropocene. With me in studio, Louise Bruton and Eamon Sweeney. Who are we talking about when we talk about Grimes, and why don't they just call themselves by their name? He said in a grumpy old man fashion.
Well, Grimes has actually changed her name around a few times. She was threatening to go by simply C for a while, lowercase C. So Claire Butcher is her birth name, but she goes by Grimes.
He goes by Grimes.
But she has been kind of things like changing her name to C. She has been hitting the headlines for the last couple of years for loads of the wrong reasons. So I think a lot of people were dying for this album to be terrible. Things like she goes out with Elon Musk. She got into a massive feud with the rapper Azealia Banks. The rapper claimed to be sitting outside her mansion with Elon Musk for 3 days waiting for her to record an album. So hijinks like that have been what have made people kind of turn against Grimes, but I think this album has turned people back onto her.
Except for Eamon, I believe.
I'm not trying. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid on this one.
No,
I really don't like it. I really don't. I don't like her voice. I don't like the arrangements. Okay, I give her a bit of credit where credit is due. I think My Name Is Dark is really good, and there's some very curious lyrics and a lot, like, in terms of a conceptual album. I will actually, to a point, salute what she's doing.
Right, well, we should explain what the Anthropocene is then. It's the era where humankind has taken over the planet, mm-hmm. and we're doing a great job
and
at destroying things.
She's casting herself as this. It really reminds me of Janelle Monáe's The Arch Android, in terms of that concept. Personally, I think Janelle Monáe executed that much better. I know stylistically they're very different records. My problem with this is I think there's some good ideas, but generally I find it too shiny, too polished, very, very sweet, too sweet. The Delete Forever tune I find almost unlistenable.
This is about was it an ex-lover or what?
It's just not my bag.
Look, I'll tell you what, let's have a little listen, but then I'll let you give out more afterwards. Because you both like My Name Is Dark. So let's have a listen to what you both find attractive in that song. There we go. My Name Is Dark from the new album from Grimes, Miss Anthropocene. Louise Bruton and Eamon Sweeney in studio with me now. I think we got a sense of where Eamon was with it before that track started. Shiny, polished and far too sweet, Louise. You did not find it shiny, polished, and it seemed to have more of a savoury quality for you.
Yeah, she has definitely gone darker than she has ever really gone on her music before.
But that's probably the darkest track on the album, is it?
Well, no, she's kind of dealing with quite a lot of death and self-destruction and just the world going up in flames around us all, but the fact is that because it is a concept album, she is taking on the personality of the goddess of climate change. So she comes in looking at the mess we've made of ourselves, and
the goddess, this is an evil goddess, obviously, the climate change, or is she going to fix things?
I'm not quite sure actually where that stands. I know she just came from from outer space, and she is looking at the world through fresh eyes, and sort of like what you were saying with Delete Forever, it was a song written about people who died from opiate overdoses.
Right.
And the way that she kind of addressed that, I found that she kind of brought back the humanity that you don't really get around that discussion anymore. And it's a very kind of gentle way that she's gone into it. But it's also, I just really feel that she's speaking on behalf of the people who are marginalised, a lot of addiction, a lot of people who are just holding on for dear life, and she's giving a kind of a sense of kindness towards them.
All right, so put that in your privileged hat, Eamon Sweeney, and tell me why you had such a problem with Imminent Annihilation Sounds So Dope, which was one of the lyrics, I think, did you have a problem with it or not?
I don't particularly have a problem with that particular lyric. It is just, okay, I'll be honest here, I don't like her voice. It doesn't do it for me. I do think what Louise has been speaking about there, in terms of the climate change themes and all this, I applaud that. I applaud any artist maybe doing something like that. I do think she's smart. I do think she's talented. It's not my bag.
All right, well, let's give a little listen to 4 AM and then I'll ask you for Stars. There we go, 4 a.m. from Grimes and her latest album, Miss Anthropocene. Now, it would be quite that lively at 4 a.m. in the morning. But that may feed into the text we got in. I think this may be directed at you and me, Eamon Sweeney. Old farts is what the texter says. She is modern. And she might be referring to Louise Bruton there as well when she says that. I think
I'll
you
take
have
that.
You
have I'll take modern.
You have an accomplice. Is your sister and mother family members texting
in? Don't think they're
listening now. Okay. So I think the stars are going to be rather different here. From you, first of all, Louise.
Yeah, it's a straight up five.
Straight up five. Yeah. And it was clear even cut. Before Eamon started giving out.
Yeah, he can't. He can't take me to the dark side.
All right. And Eamon?
I'll go 2.5.
2.5. Did you change that after? Did Louise make you rethink? No. Okay. Right. This might be one for that quality that the texter mentioned, the second album that we have. Now to the godfather of rock, who is back in his 10th solo album, Ordinary Man, at the fine age of 71. Impressive names take part in this record, including Elton John / Guns N' Roses, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, and others. But 71, the last thing that Ozzy Osbourne ever is, was, or will be is Ordinary Man. Is he desiring to be that, or is he saying, I really don't want to be an ordinary man?
The lyrics of that one in particular, he kind of sings, and I can't do justice to his voice, so I'm not going to sing it, but just to quote it. I was unprepared for fame, then everybody knew my name. No more lonely nights, it's all for you. I've travelled many miles, I've seen tears, I've seen smiles. Just remember that it's all for you. This kind of love letter to his fans. Now, I suppose the interesting thing about Osbourne is people who have never heard a heavy metal album in their lives know who Ozzy Osbourne is.
Yeah.
He's one of reality TV's biggest blue chip names, like of global celebrity. And this whole record, the build-up, sadly, a lot of it is about his Parkinson's diagnosis.
Yeah.
That apparently dates back to 2003. Which doesn't surprise me, because I remember being quite excited to see him headline Ozfest. I think it was about 2003 to 2004, which happened in Punchestown, that he had to pull out, and Tool, who I think are an amazing band, were the last minute headliners. So there is the temptation to look at this as some kind of farewell.
Yeah, big but he said he's very clear. I have another album to make, at least one more to make, and why wouldn't he say that? Mm-hmm. However, heavy metal fans will not be expecting this track with Elton John. I have to stop. You know, if that track was playing and I was given 10 options and Ozzy Osbourne was one of them, he would be going, oh, well, he's definitely not Ozzy Osbourne, would be my first response. What's happened, Louise?
I do feel like, as you all said, it's the farewell. He's looking at the end of things. And what do you do when you are kind of signing off on your legacy?
Sing a song with Elton John.
Call Elton in. Yeah. If that's what death feels like, then call up Elton, I think.
Yeah, we have to be fair, that's not typical of the album, song.
No, there's the first song, Straight to Hell, threatens listeners to defecate themselves. Mm-hmm. And then there's another song about cannibalism, which is, you know, great. And then there's It's a Raid, which is all about snorting the last bit of cocaine before the Gardaí arrive.
With the police on their way to you. So let's have a little sound, just a brief sound of what he sounds like when he's in full Ozzy Osbourne. Today is the end, or Holy Tonight? Which of those is I think Today is the End is pretty poppy, or pretty punky, isn't it?
Yes, in a corporate rock way.
Again, the lyrics there, it feels like today is the end, kind of pointing in one direction. Even that isn't as, it's a bit snarly, but it's not your usual snarly Ozzy Osbourne, is it really? It's certainly not in Black Sabbath mode or anything like it.
Do you know, actually, here's a probably a slightly depressing piece of trivia. The first Black Sabbath album was 50 years old in February, I think 2 weeks ago.
Imagine if you remembered that album.
I don't. But yeah. Just to make that
I'm just
clear,
saying, imagine if you did.
Before the texts come in again, kind of thing. Look, in terms of I appreciate Black Sabbath. I've never been the hugest fan. In terms of Ozzy, I've been always more of an Alice Cooper kind of guy.
So does this album work for you? Do you think
it does, to an extent? Yeah, I don't think it's brilliant.
Right.
You know.
Do you don't think it's his farewell album either? Do you?
I'm not too sure about this. Like, that's creeping into a lot of the reviews and coverage of it, but things like death and graveyards and mutilation, these were themes that are age-old, back 50 years ago.
Yeah, Black Sabbath were singing about them.
Kind of a narrative there that you can trace through all the work. And he's doing signings today, somewhere in the States. So even though he's cancelled a few dates, I think in April, he says he will postpone again a tour. So it's in some ways business as usual.
Well, and long may that continue for him. Stars from you, Eamon?
I'd go 3.
You're going 3 on this. Louise, I think it's different.
No, I'm going to match Eamon.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. It's also 3, yeah.
So it kind of works, or what's your...
Like you said, it's not a brilliant album, but just with all he's been through and the life he's lived, I appreciate the moments of reflection that he does give.
A pat on the head for
Ozzy. Not a pat, but it's like when Johnny Cash was releasing his last music, you're kind of like, well, that's someone who's lived and obviously has something to say.
Oh yeah, well, Johnny Cash sang about death in those Rick Rubin records. You could hear the Grim Reaper coming up the avenue towards him. This is a different kettle of fish altogether. So 3 and 3 from both of you. Let us move on then to our... Just stretching myself around, I'll finally get there to our final album, which is Man Alive from Kid Krule. Who are we talking about when we talk about Kid Krule, Eamon Sweeney?
A little lad called Archie Ivan Marshall, a 25-year-old Londoner who, this is his 4th album, and he's been blending, I suppose, elements, you could say, of punk, jazz, hip-hop, dark wave and trip-hop. Too much critical acclaim over the years. He was on the BBC Sound of 2013 list. He's been likened to Morrissey and Edwin Collins, even though I think he sounds absolutely nothing like either of those two artists.
Maybe it's the downed nature of the lyrics. Let's have a listen to something, and we'll give Louise a chance to talk about Kid Krule as well. Stoned Again is the title of this track. Boy, I'm feeling so lucky, I'm a 10th birthday. There we go, Kid Krule and his song Stoned Again. And now you think, oh right, so he's given us a version of being stoned in some ways there, Louise, but that's kind of the tone and the introspection that we get right across the album.
Yeah, it's non-stop. Non-stop droning on, dragging you all down with them.
And you have comparisons with Damon Albarn here?
Yeah, I would imagine it would be like being cornered by Damon Albarn at a party during his worst years and having to withhold a conversation with him when you've nowhere to run.
Right. So you're in the kitchen and he's standing in front of you and there's
the door
just
is blocked.
No way out. Your friends have all turned their back on you and you're, I have to listen to
him. Just nodding along going, God help me now.
Have you ever been in that position? And you certainly didn't feel like it, Eamon, when you were listening to Kid Krule.
Louise's description has actually really made me laugh because, you know, without wanting, okay, here's the name drop, I have been cornered by Damon Albarn.
Oh Lord.
Yeah. And was not a very enjoyable kind of experience. Yes, I think there is that shade of that Albarn, that polyglot musical magpie thing, using lots of different sorts. I hear bits of John Cooper Clarke, not so much, there's a street poetry angle to it, but also if you listen to some of John Cooper Clarke's old musical productions, didn't do an awful lot. Similar kind of mood. And I love the way he's been described as a lanky London outlaw with cement mixer lungs. That nails it for me.
But does he sound like that on the record to you, Louise?
Like, I read somewhere that this is his most uplifting record so far. And the whole, so he, when he was writing the album first, he was just writing about, you know, getting stoned, being a mad lad or whatever it is that his life is. And then he found out his partner was pregnant. So the rest of the album is like, what do I do now that I'm a dad and I have to give up the crack?
Well, it kind of does become a different album further down, because up at the top I was thinking, and again I'll be accused by that texter, although you're agreeing with me now, so you're the modern one here. I kind of thought, if your teenager was writing songs like that in their bedroom, you'd say, come down out of that now and come down and talk to us downstairs. Don't be singing that rubbish up there.
Archie, please, come downstairs.
Archie, get down the stairs and watch EastEnders like a good fella, like the rest of us. But the second half of the album is totally different. It does become something else and musically more interesting, I thought.
Yeah, but it also, you're kind of looking at, you're watching going, is this still happening?
Yeah, there's a lot of 12, 13,
the way
14
I've described
songs.
It is it's a meandering phlegm ball of horror that just has no end in sight.
Yes, teenager making music in the bedroom.
That's so connected with my inner teenager on some level.
You loved this, Eamon.
I really, really do love it. Now, look, I don't, it's far from perfect, but I think it's extremely compelling. I think he's got a very unique voice. And I suppose is this question of taste. I don't like Grimes' voice, but I love this guy. And a lot of people will hate this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you say...
Do you know which of this is the third album? Is this pretty much...
I was listening to some of the older stuff.
Yeah.
This is a little bit more darker.
I thought you were going to say upbeat.
No, he did. He does seem to have his upbeat moments early in his career. Like, you know, the BBC Sound of 2013 list tends to be quite mainstream. But right. I think he's maybe gone a bit more left field as he's got older.
Okay, stars from you on this one, Eamon.
I go 4.5.
4.5, afraid to go 5, are you? No, it's just it's not that good. 4.5, that's what you said. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Far from perfect. Louise?
Yeah, a very low 2. Maybe even like a 1.9.
1.9 if you could go that. All right, so.